Thank you, Howard, very much for that introduction. I appreciate it. We did have a good feast. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was far better than what Anna and I both expected. And we got to thank you and your wife for making that possible. It was just wonderful. That's great. And as you can see, I'm not Ralph Helge. So today, we have to lower our expectations a little bit because Ralph's message was like days of old. I'm telling you, that was a great message that he gave. And mine will not compare to that. So I'm alerting everybody ahead of time of that. The name of this message is Let's Be Happy. And in this day's world, there's so much that bombards us with negative, negative, negative things. We hear it a lot on television. We hear it in the news. Our friends and our buddies are talking about negative things that's going on in their life. And being happy sometimes takes some effort. And most all of these scriptures, in fact, I think all of them, have come from Mr. Segley's correspondence on the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10 and verse 1. And it says here, the preface is, the Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son brings happiness and joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. I'm sure we all know of some single woman who works two jobs to raise her family, and yet, try as she may, she's got one child that always brings her grief and problems. And that happens in families where dad is there as well. It just seems like there is someone you have to pay a lot of attention to, and it's not always the easiest thing to do. You got to be on one of the children a little more than the rest. Let's go from here to Proverbs 10 and verse 28. Proverbs 10 and verse 28. The prospect of the righteous is happiness, but the hopes of the wicked, they come to nothing. What a comment from Solomon. They come to nothing. And sometimes this happens because the wicked person may not be wicked at all. He just may be a little bit lazy. And some of the things that he's wanting to get done don't get done because he doesn't get out to accomplish them. He doesn't have the push on himself to do it and doesn't have a job and so on and so on. When Solomon writes, we find the pros and cons are in the same sentence. The good and evil are in the same sentence. And this is taking place in Matthew 5, where the Sermon on the Mount is, and Christ speaks of these things in the same sentence. He does it as well as Solomon, although not as prevalent. Solomon does this as, I think, his method of getting a lot accomplished in a little bit of time. So let's go on to Proverbs 11 and verse 10. Proverbs 11 and verse 10. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and the city is happy. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy and happiness. Seems like Solomon is going a long ways on some of these, and that happens to be one of them, in my opinion. A sense King Solomon installed, or at least I sense they installed righteous people as mayors and city leaders, as well as in his military. He put the best people in charge, and these wicked or lazier people he didn't have in charge of anything. They were probably woodcutters. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. There's deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy in those who promote peace. Sometimes I think of John Visser when I'm reading these things. He had a whimsical way about him, and we talked about being positive every single conversation we ever had, because he was a positive person. He went back to see his sister down in Florida. And John was asked by several people, well, did you have someone go with you? And he said, yes, I had somebody go with me. He said, the pilot went with me. And that's the way his mind worked. He was upbeat all the time. And that's the way that we should be, if we can be that way. But certainly for John, he lived his life that way. Let me read Proverbs 12 and verse 20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but happiness for those who promote peace. Let's go down to verse 25, Proverbs 12:25. A worried heart makes a man down. In other words, it brings us down. But a kind word makes a man happy, happy. So if we can, rather than try to tell somebody how to live their life, give them an encouraging word, oftentimes that's all people are looking for, and they leave us better than they find us, because we're kindly to them. Proverbs 13 and verse 9, we see the light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked will be extinguished out. Solomon is very direct in so many of his things, so many of his writings, that some of these seem like he's talking about putting someone down, putting them away, putting them to death. And whether that is his intent or his meaning, I don't know. But I know that he was very generous with the two women that, where they had killed and eaten one of the babies, and the other one, he gave her back her son. Well, let's take a minute here and break this for a story. This took place with Anna and I about 3 months ago, and we had gone down to Huntington Beach to drop off a present, and we're down there, and Anna says, now that we got this done, let's go to Palm Springs. Yeah, let's go to Palm Springs. It's 100 degrees out there, and it's already the afternoon, and we want to go to Palm Springs. So I agreed with that finally. And so I get on the freeway, and I go about 10 miles, and I find out that I am on the wrong freeway. I'm going to San Diego. And I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm on the wrong freeway. So as I turned, as I turned the car around, I'm thinking to myself, is this going to be one of those days in which things don't go right? Is that what's going to be happening now? And that's what I'm thinking. We get the car turned around and roll over to the 91 freeway, which doesn't take all that long. We get to the 91 freeway. Instead of being a parking lot, today we can just roll to our heart's content. It just was, there was no traffic at all. So the first thing that comes up is Riverside, and it didn't take long to get there. Then we go along a little farther and we go past San Bernardino. Now when we get out there, the car starts in with this little now that is either one of two things. Down in the harbor, it can mean that the freeway is so bad that it's been hammered half to death. In another case, it could be a tire going bad in the car. So I go from the fourth lane to the third lane. Then I go from the third lane to the second lane. Then I go down to the first lane. And in all four lanes, and that's a bad sign. So I drop, while I'm driving, I drop the speed about 5 miles an hour, and nothing happened. Then I drop the speed 5 miles an hour more. Nothing happened. Then I drop the speed 5 miles an hour more. Nothing is happening. I drop the speed a fourth time, and then the tire quiets down. So it's a tire on the car that's the problem. So immediately, I begin talking to God, because I do not want to get out in 100 degree heat and change that tire. So I've got it way down now to where the tire is calm and I am calm, and I think it'll make it to Palm Springs. And sure enough, it does. It makes it to Palm Springs. And the first thing Anna says is, I'm hungry. And there's a restaurant right there, so we go into the restaurant, and we're only the second people there. There's only one other booth that's got people in. When we leave, however, there's eight people there, so I was happy for the restaurant, but I was worried about my tire, because this tire could blow at any time. So I go out and I get on the side that Anna's on the passenger, and I feel of the tire all the way around. It's good. The tire on the rear, her side, I feel around the tire. It's good. It's smooth all the way around. Get on my side, put my hand up there, and boom. That's the tire that's bad. Well, we don't have too far to go. We've only got about 3 miles down the main part of town. So I think, well, there won't be any problem. There'll be 2 or 3 gas stations there. It'll be fine. Get down there, and after going about 3.5 miles, there's no gas stations except the one at the end. And it's brand new, so I go across the lanes, get on the other side, drive in the back, expecting to find guys at work back there. No. The only thing you can buy at this restaurant is gasoline and beer. Maybe not in that order. But anyhow, so I turn around, I come back out of there, and across the street there's 2 buildings. Neither one of them say tire shop. Looking at the front of them, and they don't have any writing on them at all. And my wife hollers out, there's a tire shop. I said, where do you see a tire shop? She says, take a look at the building on your left. Okay. Take a look down the little tiny alley on the right side. Yeah, it said tire shop. Not only did it say tire shop, But that is the tire shop, the only one that I've ever dealt with for the last 35 or 40 years. So they're going to have all of the amount of money that I've spent there with them and everything, because they got little mom and pop places out here too. So the guy, there is a guy there, and the doors are all closed except for one. And so he comes walking over there, and he says, "Hi, folks, how can I help you?" I said, "The tire behind me is no good, it's junk, and we got to get a new one." So he pulls out a paper and pencil, walks over there, kneels down, and writes down all the information about that tire. Now, because they're a tire shop, I know that he is going to have the tire. So he goes off, clear over there in the background where the warehouse is, and he's gone for a long time. A long time. He's gone a long time. He's gone too long not to find a tire. He should have found a tire by now, but he hasn't found one. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm thinking we may have to spend the night here. And we may have to have an evening meal. And I may miss work tomorrow. So all these things are going through my mind when he comes out with a smile on his face. He didn't have a tire, though. So he moves around this one pickup he's working on. Sure enough, he's got a tire. I think, all right, that's great. That's fantastic. He gets done with his pickup truck. We're the next people in line. Well, in the meantime, a towing vehicle comes in. This is one where you drag the car up on the top and lash it down. But anyway, we're there before he is, so we should be the next people in line. So what he does, us in the meantime, Anna and I go inside where the air conditioner is, so he goes over to this truck and talks with him. And he does not bother to go and work on our car, but he works on this guy's car that's on the back of this tow truck. And I can't believe it. So anyway, it's life, and I'd probably do the same thing if we had an account with a towing company. So I just let it go and never said anything about it. So after that, I'm figuring we're going to be the next people because there's nobody else in the shop. We are not the next people, and it's very frustrating. The guy is now over working on a little red car, little automobile, and there's nobody else in this whole shop that owns that car. And yet, here's the guy dealing with this little car that nobody is there to appreciate one way or the other. And I can't believe that. So anyway, he gets done with that, and then finally comes in to where we are in the office. And he comes walking over to me, and I'm frustrated now. And he said, "Excuse me, sir," he said, "I need to get the keys to your car." "Oh, absolutely, no problem. Right here, I dig in and give him the keys, and he runs the car over and changes the tire. And it took no time whatsoever. So I'm looking at my watch, and it is exactly 5:00. So they got that done at closing time. And here I am frustrated over all this, and that tire has worked perfectly for the last 90 days. There's no vibration, there's no nothing of any kind. And here I was all upset about the fact that we weren't the right person in line, and it didn't matter because we got fixed at the end of the day. This goes to show you that not all things are like they're looking out to be. Okay, Proverbs 14 and verse 13. Even in laughter, you might be at a party, even in laughter, the heart may ache. Maybe you just lost your job yesterday. and you're not able to laugh like everybody else, because you got to find work again. And happiness may end in grief. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. A happy heart makes a face cheerful, but a heart ache crushes the spirit. Here we see chapter 14 and 15 saying almost the same thing. Your spirit can be crushed because of the things going on in your personal life that other people don't know anything about. Let's drop down two more verses to verse 15. Proverbs 15, verse 15. All the days of our oppressed are wretched, of the oppressed are wretched, but a happy heart has a continual feast. And that's right. If you are happy, you're happy most of the time. And you don't let things get you down, which is really great and hard to avoid. We're cheered up by a positive person, and we're pulled down by a negative person. So be around people that are positive if you possibly can. That I know helps me out. Okay, Proverbs 15 and verse 23, the last proverb in chapter 15. A man finds happiness in giving positive replies. And how good, Solomon says, is a timely word. Sometimes all people need is a little pat on the back to make their day, and that's all that they need sometimes. We can't solve their problems. Maybe it takes a lot of money to solve the problem. Maybe it takes a lot of time to solve the problem. But we can't always help people out by giving them advice. But we can help them out by giving them positive comments here or there. And I've got written down here, avoid a gossip. Avoid a gossip, and also avoid being one. Because gossips tend to destroy friendships. My wife has told me of a situation that's gone on like that with a friend of hers in her life. She doesn't know the circumstances, but she knows that these two gals are no longer getting along, and they've been friends for many years, and gossip has intervened and brought them down. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A cheerful, happy heart is good like medicine. So if you can be around people that are happy, that's great. But a crushed spirit dries up our bones. And being around upbeat people matters. It makes a difference in being around negative people. It makes quite a bit of difference in some cases. Proverbs 21 and verse 15. When justice is done, it brings joy and happiness to the righteous. But terror to the evildoers. Solomon's comments sometimes are just amazing. And maybe what's happened is the terror of the evildoer is because they threw the book at him. Solomon may have thrown the book at him when he was a king. Well, let's divert here for a moment, and we'll go to a second story. This is before I met and married Anna. I wanted to go to the Feast of Tabernacles in Florida. And a stopover was needed in Atlanta, Georgia, and a second plane was used to get the rest of the way to Florida. So I had spent about five and a half hours on this first flight, and I was not ready to get onto the second plane. So as people lined up to get on the second plane, I kicked back, didn't get on the second plane right away. The line is going and going and going, and people are getting on. Finally, I get up, go to the line, and there's two people that come in behind me. Great, no problem. I'm in line, I'm ready to go. I get up to where the two clerks are, an unusual thing happened. Stop! The plane is full, sir. I have had my ticket for I don't know how many weeks, and she tells me the plane is full? Ah, I can't believe that. So one of the two clerks is there, and she says, sir, she says, I will go down the tunnel, and I'll count heads for you, and we'll see if we're right, because we could be wrong with these vouchers. That's how the count was determined. So she goes down there, comes back, and she says, sorry, but the plane is filled up. Well, the other girl that's there with her, about 5 minutes later, says, sir, I will go down, and I will count heads as well. So we've got two clerks and a voucher count. So she comes back and says, yep, the plane is filled up. So then a third woman comes out, and she is from the aircraft crew. She is a literal steward, or stewardess in this case. So she comes over and talks to me, and she says, when things calm down a little bit, she says, I'll go down, I'll count heads for you, and we'll see if everything is as it is. So she does. So she goes and actually is gone for quite some time. And I assume that she's gotten busy and the plane has taken off, because she's gone for a long time. And I'm sitting there, and I am the only person in sight. There's like nobody around this whole area at all. I'm just the only one sitting there. I'm talking to God, and who shows up? The stewardess shows up, and she walks straight over to me and calls me by name. She said, Mr. Moore. She said, I have a seat for you. I said, what? I said, wait a minute now. You three of you guys have gone down and counted heads, and I said the voucher count, all of that comes out the same. How can you possibly have a seat? She said, here's what's happened. Now this sounded like the voice of God immediately. She said, there has been an unruly passenger on board that aircraft, and we cannot legally take off until that passenger is removed. And you can have his seat if you want it. Absolutely, that's why I'm there. I want that seat. And so I get out and get the boarding pass and give it to her, and walk down the rampway into the airplane, and it's got three seats on this side and three seats on this side. And there's one seat on this side, about halfway down the airplane, that look, it's empty, and it looks like it is this wide. It just looked beautiful to me. I couldn't believe that this is going on. I've never had that happen before or since. Just amazing that that took place that way. And I go down to the feast down in Florida and just have a good time. So that was the second story that I've got. So let's go to Proverbs 23 and verse 24. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. And that's true. There's no question about that. You delight in being around good people, especially if they're in your family. Proverbs 28 and verse 12. When the righteous triumph, there is great happiness. But when the wicked rule, when the wicked rise to power, men go into hiding. Men go into hiding when the wicked come to power. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. When the righteous thrive, the people are happy and there's rejoicing. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. Solomon has quite a way of putting things, and he's got great messages when we read them. I've always liked to read the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and a lot of this was taken from Mr. Segley's condensed version of the Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Proverbs 29, verse 6, rather. An evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous man sins and is happy, sings and is happy. Happy, happy. I know that when I used to ride up in the mountains, I would be singing the 23rd Psalm. I love that particular message that they got in it. You start out in life and you turn around and sin and you repent of your sin and God gives you life everlasting. It's just amazing. And we're often our worst enemy and we create our own problems. Verse 29, chapter 29, verse 17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give happiness to your soul. We want to correct our children when they're young. We want to help them to be at services and make us proud of them. And the best way to do that is to, like Mr. Armstrong used to say in years gone by, do some correcting at home. And when you get here, there'll be less of a problem. Well, here is the third and final story. In 1967, I was leaving work on South Street, and I was behind a car that was pulling a small trailer. And we were both in the lane on the right side of the street. So I'm on my Harley. This man's in front of me. So he pulls over and gets in this lane. I call for more power and I start to go by this guy. But he is no longer going straight down the road. He has decided to turn right. And by right, I mean right in front of me. And go up in this driveway. This driveway is big enough where a couple of tractor trailers could come through. It's just a huge driveway. And I got no place to go. It's time to eat it, and that's exactly what happened. I hit the guy in the right front door of his car. And knocked off the motorcycle. Believe it or not, I get thrown under the car between the front wheel and the rear wheel. And I live to tell about it. I was thrown so far under the car that as I looked up, straight above me, the drive shaft was turning. And I knew this was no place for me. I had to get out of there But I had to get out of their feet first because they were the closest thing to getting run over. The tire behind me was disappearing all the time. The tire in front of me was coming at me. So I got my broken foot, the left foot, over out of the way. I got this out of the way immediately. Then I managed to push on the side of the car, and my shoulder was up in the air, and I'm pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and I get past the car. Then I've got the trailer to get past. So I get past the trailer by putting my hand on the wheel so I don't get it ran over with on my right hand, and get past it all. And I didn't suffer any more broken bones. Now, out of this particular accident, there is a ray of hope. And it's not maybe what you would think, but there's a ray of hope that cropped up. Because I asked these people to call an ambulance for me. I had the presence of mind to do that, and they did it. And I'm laying on the ground, and what do I hear? A long, long, long ways off, just barely audible, I hear an ambulance coming out of the garage and headed toward me. And that sound got louder and louder and louder. What a beautiful sound to hear when you're down on your luck. And this group, there was two of them, these two guys came, and they were very, very professional. The one on the left had a cardboard splint. It could fold into a horseshoe, and it was about 4 foot long. So he slides this underneath me and talks to the other guy, and he said, okay, go for it. And this guy had the power of a sumo wrestler. He grabbed a hold of my knee on the front side of it and on the back side of it and just squeezed the life out of me. And I hurt so bad from that encounter with that guy that I didn't feel any of my foot being moved around, straightened out, or anything. I felt nothing. And he held that for close to a minute while the other guy gets the thing up, gets my shoe so that it's up in a perfect position. Now both feet are at least facing the same way, and there's a whole bunch of shoestrings to tie. That guy ties them all. All the shoestrings were tied while the other guy's holding onto my knee. Just amazing. Those guys knew what they were doing. And when he let go, I was so thankful, because that guy could crush bones. He was just a really strong guy. Well, anyway, that's my story for today. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. Have a great Sabbath and keep the faith.